Welcome to KBS World Radio, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Books on Demand, a show that introduces a treasure trove of Korean short stories to the global audiences. Today we introduce 화산대기 by Oh Young-soo. I'm your host Karen Choi, and please stay tuned.
One day in early March, at dusk, even the light rain suited to germinating flowers felt cold to 화산대기. Book-sul had definitely told her that this was the house. But 화산대기 still didn't dare enter the house, just peeking in hesitantly. This isn't it. No matter how hard she thought about it, this wasn't an ordinary home where a son lived. For 화산대기, who picked mountain herbs in spring and reaped grains in autumn to sell at the street-side market in Gyeongju, 10 li away from the secluded mountain village, the high-rising walls or the painted gate or the shining glass windows resembled a public office, let's say a village residence centre in a rural community. I don't think this is it. I'm sure it isn't. It can't be. She even peered through the gate-slitted gap to look inside, but it certainly wasn't a home. Understandably, there wouldn't have been laundry because it was raining, but there should have been clay pots or even a mound of compost at least, but there was none.
This is the first scene in Oh Young-soo's 화산대기, published in 1952. 화산대기 travels outside of a remote mountain village to see her youngest son, whom she hasn't seen for many years. She goes to the location as instructed, but finds a building resembling a public office, not an ordinary residence. The woman naturally becomes confused. Then she spots a young woman leaving the place. 화산대기's heart just drops.
Impossible. To her knowledge, her youngest daughter-in-law didn't look like that. First, it was her hair. It wasn't that hideously shaggy, singed hair. And she wouldn't wear such clothes. A shirt that only men would wear, and a short skirt that stuck to her body. She wasn't an ill-bred daughter-in-law who would venture outside her house dressed like that. But it wasn't like 화산대기 has ever seen her youngest daughter-in-law, even once. She imagined what the daughter-in-law would look like, someone she hadn't seen in 4 years. While 화산대기 pictured the various images of the young woman, an immutable image carved itself on 화산대기's retina. It was the image of Dr. Kim's oldest daughter-in-law, who had visited the graves of her ancestors a while back. She had her hair knotted up neatly and was wearing a white jacket and a greyish-green skirt. Her feet swaddled in calico socks were placed inside jade-coloured rubber shoes like a pair of half-moon-shaped cakes, and a handbag was tucked demurely under her arms. But the more she thought about it, the anxious what-ifs continued to haunt her from the corner of her mind. "Excuse me, miss. Do you know a person named Dolly?" Dolly was her youngest son's childhood name. On the doorplate was the name Park Sung-gun. "I don't know anyone by that name." Wasandegi could see that the young woman's haste to shut the door indicated that she was wary of the old woman. There's nobody named Dolly or whatever in the neighbourhood. The young woman walked out of the main street while glaring at 화산대기. "How rude. That obnoxious one must think of me as a thief."
Offended by the nasty young woman, 화산대기 walked out to the main street in the hope of meeting her youngest son. Just then, she saw her son walking toward her. With tears welling up in happiness, she went to meet him, but alas, he passed right by her. "Hey, it's me. What are you doing here? I came to see you. Let's go inside." After a little hesitation, he led her to the house she had been before. While she wiped her feet with a rag, her son brought out a pair of rubber shoes and threw away her straw shoes. It wasn't that she didn't like the rubber shoes, but Hwasandaegi didn't like to see a perfectly good pair of straw shoes go to waste. She wasn't used to the tatami-covered room, but even more so to the two shiny wardrobes and a low-rising vanity table next to it. Unironed, monotone clothes hung on the wall. Everything looked untouchable, making her feel timid and cautious. She didn't know where or how she should sit, feeling awkward as if a maid was called to her master's room. Although she was at her son's house, Hwasandaegi felt ill at ease. That was when her daughter-in-law returned home. I didn't recognize you before. It's all right. But it wasn't all right. The young woman went to the kitchen without properly bowing low to her mother-in-law.
Dinner was ready. Hwasandaegi was surprised to see a spread fancy enough for the Thanksgiving holiday. She grieved to see the pickled vegetables covered in red pepper powder. She didn't like that there wasn't ample cabbage leaves or sauce in the braised flatfish. Even with a husband who brings home a lot of money, if the wife ran a household like this, they wouldn't be able to buy a plot of land in 100 years. Hwasandaegi lost her appetite at the thought. But what she couldn't bear anymore was his son's small, half-filled rice bowl. How can a grown man work eating only this much? She added rice from her own bowl into her son's. He suddenly erupted in anger. What's with you? You're so annoying. He put back the rice in his mother's bowl. Hwasandaegi, wondering why giving more rice to her son would engender so much anger, felt anguish welling up inside, which she tampered down with a spoonful of rice. Oh, I forgot to give you this. She unwrapped a bundle she brought with her. Try this. It's acorn cake. I have made it myself. Her daughter-in-law merely glanced at it while her son didn't even bother to look. Her granddaughter, after taking a bite, spat it out and put the rest back. Make her bed in the other room. She must be tired, his son said to his wife.
Although Hwasandaegi wanted to have a long chat with her son, she had no choice but to go into the guest room alone. She couldn't sleep in the tatami-floored room with its high ceiling, paned windows, and unfriendly lime-powdered walls. Hwasandaegi felt all alone. She tried to sleep, but she was already walking over the unpaved hilly road among the alder trees. It was an old house with a thatched roof and a barley field as the front yard. Mud walls streaked with the bedbug blood. Her grandchildren with their stomachs bared and limbs tangled sleeping in a room stinking with fermented soybean blocks. Her oldest son weaving straw shoes with a bowl of mugwort water beside him. His wife mending tattered clothes with her dry, bony hands. Hwasandaegi wanted to run to that place right there and then. She wanted to calm his cough by gently massaging his back. She would feel much better if she could sit knee to knee with her daughter-in-law and cry her heart out. Hwasandaegi felt uncomfortable and awkward in that room. Literary critic Chun So-young explains the old woman's feelings.
두메에서 온 화산대기가 느낀 도시는 매우 차가운 공간인데
Hwasandaegi feels that the city is a cold place. There are several elements in the story meant to show the gap between her remote mountain village and her son's city life. Her straw shoes were made by hand, and the rubber shoes given by her son were manufactured in a factory. Unlike her Ondol heated room in her house, her son's room had unheated Japanese-style tatami floor. Her homemade acorn cake, made with love, is thrown away by her son. Writer Oh Young-soo contrasted the mountain village and the city by vividly describing their different surroundings in detail.
작가는 이렇게 두메와 도시의 대조적인 모습을 단순히 서술하는 데 그치지 않고 감각적인 표현과 묘사를 통해서 독자에게 좀 더 실감나게 전달을 하고 있습니다.
Even though Hwasandaegi didn't demand respect, how could she not even bow to her mother-in-law whom she met for the first time? Hwasandaegi's neighbors envied her for having a successful son and a learned daughter-in-law. What a joke. Unable to sleep, Hwasan-daegi looked for the bathroom to relieve her aching stomach. She groped her way through the dark house and stepped outside. She looked for the outhouse at likely places but couldn't find it. She circled the house twice, but the bathroom was nowhere to be found. She couldn't imagine a house without a toilet, but feeling the urgent need to take a dump, she sat down beneath the wall. She felt much better. She vowed to clean up after her as soon as the day dawned before returning to her room. Here's Bang Min-ho, professor of Korean literature at Seoul National University, explaining why Hwasan-daegi couldn't find the bathroom.
Her son's house was built in Japanese style. In the old days, it was customary for Korean homes to have bathrooms outside, but Japanese-style houses had them inside. This is why Hwasan-daegi, not used to Japanese homes, couldn't find the outhouse.
The next morning, Hwasan-daegi left her room quietly to clean up the dung without waking up her son and daughter-in-law.
The place where she relieved herself happened to be the cement gutter. The drain led to next door. She still couldn't find the outhouse even in the morning. Hwasan-daegi bought a bucket and a broom from the kitchen and swept away the dung with water. That is when she heard a grumpy voice coming over the wall. What old hag is sweeping the crap into someone else's house? How nasty! What a bizarre sight! Hwasan-daegi could deal with curses and shame, but she won't be able to bear her son and daughter-in-law finding out. Enough! I'll come over and clean it up. She went over to the neighbor's house with a bucket and a broom. They had the same gutter, and next to it stood a well. She borrowed a shovel and threw away the dung in the trash can. She had worked with human and animal feces all her life. She couldn't understand what the big deal was. If dung was so dirty, how could they keep it inside their tummy? How could they eat vegetables grown with manure? These thoughts ran through her mind as she washed away the dung with water. Are you related to someone in that house? Is it your son or daughter? Neither. I'm just an acquaintance who's staying there overnight. It was just stupidity of an old woman.
Fearing that her son or daughter-in-law would be shamed by what she had done, Hwasan-daegi didn't tell the old man that she was their mother. She was on her way back to the house when she happened to glance in the waste can. In there was the acorn cake she had brought uneaten.
Oh my goodness! How sinful to throw food away. She quickly took out the cake and hid it under her skirt. Also inside the waste can was her straw shoes. Images of her grandchildren left in the mountain village wavered in front of her. They were crying, having fought over the acorn cake. Hwasan-daegi's eyes began to tear up. When the sun was midway up the sky, Hwasan-daegi walked quickly toward Gyeongju, carrying the same bundle and wearing the same straw shoes she had yesterday.
Literary critic Chun So-young explains what the author had in mind in the last scene.
오영수는 일평생 자신이 나고 자란 시골의 모습을 작품에 그려내기 위해 노력했던
Oh-young-soo tried to depict the rural community he grew up in. This story was published in the early 1950s, when cities started to undergo materialistic development and the gap between the urban and rural environments began to widen. Oh-young-soo believed that the remote rural areas were more precious. His message was clearly shown in the last scene, in which Hwasan-daegi returned to her home in the mountain without a bit of regret or apology.
Thank you for tuning in to Books on Demand. This week we read Hwasan-daegi by Oh Young-soo. This has been Karen Choi, and please join me again next week.